two or three people this morning. Let them know how glad you are to see them here at Word of Life Church. Amen. I want to invite you this morning to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. We'll start in verse 1 here in a minute. On the screens, if you can go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 on the screens. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 in your Bibles. While you're turning, I'll tell you a quick little joke. We're in a series entitled Life's a Beat. And what we're getting at in the series is you'll never change your life until you change your patterns. And so just like life has patterns, so does music. It has a beat behind it. So I thought if there was ever a time to tell a music joke, this would be the series to tell it in. There's this new, I guess she's not a new singer, but she's got a new album out called Adele. And I heard this joke a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was kind of funny because this song, I've heard it literally everywhere. It just seems like wherever I'm walking, this song is playing along beside me. But the joke goes like this. It's real simple. Why did Adele cross the road? And the answer is she wanted to tell everyone on the other side that she was thankful to be there. And I messed up. How does that lyric go in the song? Hello from the other side. She wanted to tell everyone on the other side, hello from the, forget it. I took that joke and literally botched it. You can tell how much music I listen to with that joke right there. My wife is going to make fun of me for a very long time when she hears out about this. But with this, we're in this series entitled Life's a Beat. And what we're getting at, once again, in the series is you'll never change your life until you change your patterns. That literally every area of your life that you're overwhelmingly thrilled with, it's because you have a fantastic pattern in that area, something you are doing daily that is making that thing be as successful as it is. If that's your marriage, if you say, man, Pastor Joel, I have an excellent marriage, it is because you have an excellent pattern in your marriage. There's things that you're doing daily that is producing that result. We said if you look over your finances, you say, you know what, Pastor Joel, I'm more happy with this area of my life than ever before. My finances, they're just kicking on all cylinders. It's because you have patterns that you are doing daily in that area that are producing that result. We said on the flip side of that, though, any area of your life that you are frustrated with, it is simply because you have bad patterns in that area. And until we change our patterns, we will never change our production. We said it does no good to try to envy the production of someone else. If we would just simply imitate their patterns, we would be able to produce the same thing. So our goal is, in this series, is to give us new patterns to start the year off, that if you can put these patterns in your life and exercise them with habit force, at the end of this year, you'll be able to look at your life and say, you know what? I produce more this year and better results this year than at any other point in my life. How many of you would like to say that at the end of this year? That this year I produce better results in my marriage, in my finances, in my health, in every arena of my life, in my walk with God, I am better off at the end of this year than I was at the start. So we're trying to give you some things to kind of stop doing, but we said last week that the stops never really help us. If we just try to stop a whole bunch of stuff, we see that that never generally works. We said it's much easier for us to start things, and if we'd start things, it'll help us stop the things we need to stop. So today, I'm going to give you a stop. This is something we need to stop doing, especially in this new year, if we're going to see it be just an amazing year. And in return, I'm going to give you a start that'll help you stop, and then another start. So it's going to go stop, start, start, stop, start, start. All right, now that we're all on the same page, let's read a scripture that has blessed my life immeasurably. I've preached on it a lot, but I can't think of any better scripture with to start this new year off with than the scripture that is on the screens. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, for he that will love life, how many of you say, I want to love my life this year? I want to love my life this year and see good days. How many of you would be thrilled with some good days this year? It says, if you want to love your life, like if you just want to step back and say, you know what, I love my life right now, I'm seeing amazing days, it says you're going to have to do something. There's something you're going to have to do, and the do it list is a stop. You're going to have to stop some things, and he says what you're going to have to stop is your tongue from evil, and you're going to have to make sure that your lips speak no guile. Now, guile is kind of an intense King James word. What we would say today is just negative. Make sure that your lips don't speak anything negative, or you could say ugly about someone else. It says, if you want to love your life and you want to see good days, you need to refrain, stop your tongue from evil, and you need to make sure that your lips speak no guile. Have any of you heard that phrase before? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never what? Hurt me. Yeah, you've heard the phrase before. How many of you know nothing could be further from the truth? Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, in my life, I would rather people like throw a stone at my back than say what they said behind my back. Can I get an amen on that? That pain, that physical pain from a stick or stone may be there for a moment, but there are words that have been said about me that I have heard that have hurt me far deeper, and that pain has lasted longer than any amount of physical pain. Words hurt. Your words can hurt other people. My words can hurt other people. And what we'll get at in a minute is there's no one on this world that our words hurt or help more than ourselves. But with this, I want to start out with this stop. The Bible says if you want to love your life, if you want to see amazing days, it says you're going to have to stop using your mouth to speak negative things about other people. He said, this is a huge key to having good days. This is a huge key to loving your life. You've got to stop doing this. The Bible says that there are things that God hates. Now, these things are listed in Proverbs chapter 6. And in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, one of the things that God hates, and this is not me using the word hate, this is Proverbs using the word hate, so in this term, I guess it's okay. God says, I hate this. And he says, one of the things I hate is he who sows discord among the brethren. Meaning you have a group of brethren and they're over here, and this person sees a fault, a failure, an insecurity, a weakness in the life of this person, and it goes and tells another person what it sees negative in the life of this person, and it sows that seed in their heart that separates this person from this person over here. It brought discord. It brought division between two people. God says, I, strong language, I know it. If it was me, I don't know if I would go this far, but it's not me, it's God. God says, I hate that. And the reason why he hates it is once that seed is sown, while this person may have never done anything negative to this person over here, in light of what you said, now their love walk is affected towards them. In spite of them not even seeing that fault and failure, now they're having to deal with what has been sown into their heart. And God says, if you want to love your life, you have to stop this type of behavior. In James chapter 3, he says, look, if you can control your mouth, you can control literally every other part of your body. You can control your life. He said, if you can bring your tongue under discipline, there's nothing in your life that you can't bring under discipline as well. And as he's teaching on the power of words, you know what immediately he starts talking about? He says, now with this knowledge of this great power of the mouth and the tongue and all of this, he says, you need to realize that most people's mouth is filled with deadly poison. He says what so many Christians do is they go to God and they bless God with their words, but then they turn right around and curse someone else who's made in the very image and likeness of God. He says, my brethren, these things ought not be. How can a fountain bring forth both sweet and bitter water? He said, this should never be in your life. If we want a strong life filled with good days, I'm going to have to stop being so negative about other people. How many of you think this would be a great idea, like for every Christian in America, to just make a decision, we're not going to point out the faults and failures and insecurities in other people and magnify them on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or those types of things. The law of kindness is going to rule our lips. Can I get an amen? Now, in all of our lives, this would be incredibly beneficial if we would learn to never say anything negative about someone else. That would help us immeasurably. And for those of you who have walked with the Lord for many years, I'm sure this is not the first time you have heard this message. So once again, we know we need to stop doing this, but what's a start that could help us stop? I'll tell you the best way to stop talking negative about other people to other people is to start doing the following. Whoever you said something negative to, go to that person and start repenting to them. I know this is deep. I know so many of you would be tempted not to do this, but this is why your brain will stop and put a watch over your words, because this can be so painful and your brain cannot stand pain. This will be so painful, it humbles you so much, and it'll stop you the next time you are tempted to say something negative. You can ask people close to me in my life. You can ask my friends. You can ask my wife. You could ask a secretary. You could ask employees. If I ever say anything negative about someone else or shown a negative light about the life of someone else, they will tell you it will only be a matter of time before I come to them face to face and said, I said A, B, and C. I am sorry for saying that, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And I'll look them in the eye and say, do you forgive me? And I'll wait for them to say, I forgive you. I thoroughly and adamantly repent unto them. And every time it hurts, but friends, I'm telling you, this has helped me cure this issue in my life. And I'm telling you what, I've never in more times than now enjoyed my life and seen some good days. And I think it is because of this principle. The other night I was having dinner with some guys in my small group, and about 2 years ago our small group took a missions trip to Botswana, Africa, and man, we had a great time, and it was just literally a perfect trip in every sense of the word. Just, it was fun, it was relaxing, it was entertaining, there was great ministry. It was just, if you could design a perfect mission trip, this would be it. But on the trip, we went with groups from other people, and other parts of the nation and other things. And these people had big personalities. Does anyone in your life have like big personalities? I mean, very, very loud, very, very aggressive, very, very bold. And also, especially two of these people, very, very talkative. I mean, just very, very talkative. Just really just enjoying being the center of attention and the light of the room, which can be very positive traits. But anyway, with this, we're in close proximity to these people. If you go on a mission trip, you know it's tight spaces, it's tight rooms, it's tight cars, it's tight vehicles. You're just tight. So there's no getting away from it. There's no relief, and you're with each other literally 24/7 until you go to bed. And so with this, there were two particular people who were outside of the group who had these huge personalities, and every time they could get a word in edgewise, they would. Have you ever met that person who they just had to have the last word? Like, you sent a text and there was no way anyone could ever respond back to that text, yet they found a way to respond. Like you're trying to walk away, but they just want to keep talking. Have you ever been there before with someone? And with this, it was just this type of way the whole week. And one of these people was a female. Now with this, it finally built up to where there were two or three days left on the trip, and our small group is kind of talking and kind of sharing this moment, and we're just having, you know, this deep time, and all of a sudden this person walks up and just dives right into the heart of the conversation. In spite of having no knowledge of what we're talking about, it just completely changes this environment, this moment. And finally they walked away, and then when they walked away, just out of my belly, my thought life was revealed in that moment. Out of my belly flowed forth out of my mouth, my word, I am thankful for my wife. I am thankful for my wife. Now, with that, yes, I was putting my wife on a higher pedestal, but guess what else I was doing at that moment? I revealed a negative light about that person. Now, here's the thing. All of those people probably also saw that negative light and were probably also feeling the same way. But what did I do in that moment? I took two people and with my words sowed discord into the heart of someone against another person.
son.
Now, immediately, my conscience checked me. God's grace in your heart is always there to wash over you, cleanse you, restore you, forgive you, bring you back. But your heart will check you. Now, the good news is God is always greater than your heart. He's not the author of condemnation, but there is a conviction that your heart will bring to you when you're violating something in your conscience. And so with this, for about 2 hours on the inside, I know I sow discord between two brethren. I know in that moment I shined a negative light. There definitely was not the law of kindness governing my lips. I took that and I sowed a negative seed. That's in my heart. I know I did. So you know what I had to do? To my small group who also goes to the church, members of the church, I'm their pastor. I had to come to them. They were out sitting by a little bench area, and I came up to them, and I said, guys, I don't know what you're talking about, but I need to interrupt. And I looked them in the eye, and I said the following, I need to repent to you, and I want to ask you for forgiveness. When we were out there, this happened. I said that. It was completely wrong. I should not have said it. I shouldn't have gone there. I belittled someone, and they don't deserve that. They're a better person than that, and I am sorry for doing that. Do you forgive me? Yes. Do you forgive me? Yes. You do that enough times, you start doing that every time you fail to stop doing 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. I promise you, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 becomes a whole lot easier. If you want to love your life, if you want to see good days, I've got to stop talking negative about other people. And the way to do that is to repent to the people you talk negative to. Amen? So that's the stop. Then there's the start. The start will help with the stop. Now I want to give you the other start. And the other start is this. Once again, we know our words can hurt other people. We know that. We know there are things that have been said about us that have hurt us and affected us on deep and personal levels. Maybe it happened to you when you were a kid or from a friend, or maybe even here recently, someone criticized you or critiqued you, and those words hurt you. So we know words have power. Anyone who says they don't, obviously, is not thinking correctly, because if they would survey their life, at most, they would be, or at the least, they would be able to say, I've been hurt or blessed or helped or ministered to by someone else's words. But as I said earlier in this message, if there's anyone in this room whom your words have hurt or helped, it is you. Your words are putting you over, are keeping you under. And there is going to be no way on this earth, according to Scripture, for you to start or stop any pattern in your life until your words get in agreement with that pattern. If your actions are going one way and your words are going the other, your actions will always line up with your words. If your life is going one way and you're trying with everything in your power to make your life, your business, your career go this way, but your words are going the other way, according to Scripture, your life will always begin to match your words. Once again, in James chapter 3, he tells us, he says, look, your words are like a bit in a horse's mouth. Your words are like a rudder on a ship. And with that, if you want to turn that horse, you have to control that bit first. If you want to turn that ship, you have to control that rudder first. And with that, he said, if you can get those things going in the right direction, your life will immediately begin to follow suit. What happens is at the start of the new year, we make a decision, I'm going to exercise, but then we talk about how much we don't like exercising. Eventually, your actions and your words will line up, and it will always go in the direction of your words. We talk about how we want to make this marriage better, but then we talk about all the faults and the failures of our spouse to our spouse and to other people. It doesn't matter how hard we're trying to make it progress in this area, our words will always control our actions every single time. And until I get my words going in the right direction, my life will never follow suit. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's look at this in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to see something. This is the book of beginnings. We're going to see how all of this started, how God started creation. I think this would be a healthy way to start our new year. Genesis chapter 1. Let's start reading in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Now notice verse 3. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Now years ago, literally probably around 13, 12 years ago, me and my mom went to a conference in Alabama. And at this conference, it was a conference on faith, and there was a speaker by the name of Charles Capps there. And he was teaching on the power of words. He taught on this a lot. And I never will forget the first night he brought up Genesis chapter 1. And he said, "I want to show you something from Genesis chapter 1 that literally I have never forgotten." He had us do what I'm about to have you to do in your Bibles. And now, every time I get a new Bible, this is one of the first things I do. I go in my Bible and I do exactly what I'm about to instruct you to do. He said, notice here in verse 3, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." He said, I want you to circle the word said, said. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, circle that word said. And then he said, go down to verse 4 and see the next part. God saw that the light was good. Then he said, circle the word saw and try to draw a line in between them. In this Bible, it worked perfectly because they're right above one another. So it's a circle, line, circle, connects the two. He says, notice, God said, and then God saw exactly what God said. God said, and then God saw exactly what God said. He said, in fact, if you read the whole book of beginnings, starting in Genesis chapter 1, and he said, you circled every time God said something or God called something something. He said, if you just circled the word said and called, you'd be circling for a very long time. Because the whole book of Genesis is God saying and God calling and God seeing what he said happen in the earth. He said, if God says something, his words never fall to the ground. God always sees what he says. Now he says, here's the interesting thing, and this is true if you go and you figure it out. If you start reading in Kings, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, in Matthew, in Ephesians, in Revelations, if you start looking at the Bible, which has the ultimate past as well as the ultimate future, you know, a lot of stuff in Revelations hasn't even happened yet, you see that the way God operates is God first must say it in the earth before he sees it in the earth. God has to say it before he sees it, but if he says it, it's only a matter of time before he sees it. This is interesting. And you study it out and you find it's the absolute truth that literally God declares the end from the beginning. So from the start of something, God looks and says, what I want it to look like, he starts declaring the end at the beginning. So before the end comes, he gets to an end that's already been declared at the beginning. Let me ask you this. To start off this new year, are you declaring the end from the beginning? At your marriage, if you were prophesying the end of your marriage, you know, and that's obviously at a very long time, healthy full of days, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not talking about the end, like, yeah, this is coming to an end this year. No. If you're going to talk about the end of something in a positive, glorious way, what are you saying at the start? The Bible says you will eat the fruit of your words, that by your words you are justified. By your words you are condemned. It says in your life you will be snared by the words that come out of your mouth. You will be held in captivity by the words that come out of your mouth. When God wants to see something, God knows he has to say it first. God wants to see it, he knows he has to say it. Now, here's the interesting thing. After God makes this big old beautiful planet by seeing and then, or by saying and then seeing what he said, he did something. He made me and you. And watch what happens when he makes me and you. It's found in Genesis chapter 1 as well in verse 26. Let's read it here. It said, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our own likeness." Now, that's an important phrase there. Let us make man in our own image and according to our own likeness. "And let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." God created us after his own image. Have you ever looked at your kids? If you have kids, if you don't have kids, you were a kid once. Have you ever looked at your kids and said, man, they are just like their mother, or they are just like their father? You looked at something they said or something they did or the way they carried themselves, and you could look at that and say, my goodness, they are just like their mother. They are just like their father. This happens to me all the time when I look at my daughter. When I see my daughter, I see the spectacular Miss Peppy. I mean, they are a pattern after each other. Well, why is there such similarities? Because they are made, my kids are formed and fashioned after me and the spectacular Miss Peppy's image and likeness. They are made that way. They are made from our DNA, which means they are going to operate very similar to the way we operate. When God operated, when God went to work, before he touched it with his hand, he said it with his mouth. Before he touched it with his hand, he said it with his mouth. And when he made man in his own image and in his own likeness. Now, we know, according to the word of God, that God has promised us, if we are rooted and grounded in him, if we touch it, it will prosper. But at the same time, God also tells us that if your words are going against your actions, it doesn't matter how strong your actions may be, your words will actually begin to change your pattern. Here's the thing I know with absolute certainty. If you can put it up on the screen, this is what I know. I'm sure of this one thing is certain in your life. Your words and your life match. I'm sure of it. Your words and your life match. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. If you feel tired, I guarantee you, your words match your life. You have talked about how tired you are. If you're not feeling your best, I guarantee you, your words and your life, they match. If you're frustrated, I guarantee you, your words and your life match. If you're thrilled with something, I guarantee you, your words and your life match. I know this with every fiber of my being. If we had a running history of your words, we could see a running history of your life. Your words about your kids, they are matching your kids. Your words about your self-control is matching your self-control. Your words about food is matching your actions towards food. I guarantee this with every fiber of my being. You know it's true in your life as well. Here's the greater question, though, if you can put that up. Here's the question. Am I saying what I'm seeing? Or am I seeing what I'm saying? I guarantee you, everyone in here would agree with me on this point. My words and my life, they match. I guarantee it, Pastor, my words and my life match. But someone could say, well, Pastor Joel, that's just because I use my words to describe my life, meaning I'm tired first, and then it's only natural for me to say I'm tired. Or I'm frustrated, and so it's only natural for me to describe my situation. But here's the thing. God says something that's much deeper than this. He says it's not your life coming first and then your words. He said it's actually your words coming first and then your life. And if you can understand this, friends, there's nothing in your life you cannot change. There's nothing in your life you cannot change. That your words come first, then your life does. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you say so, it'll be so. If you say so, it'll be so. If some of you who are married, you ought to check your spouse. You ought to check them. You ought to check them. And when they walk in, I'm so tired. Just stop and say, if you say so. If you say so. These kids are acting crazy. If you say so. If you say so, man, I tell you what, I'm going to the gym, but it's like torture. I'd rather go to prison. I'd rather have surgery than go to the gym. If you say so, if you say so, man, this new diet, it's the hardest thing in all the world. I would literally rather eat grass than eat this stuff. If you say so, if you say so, it will be so. Jesus said something very interesting in Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. You can argue with me, but you can't argue with Jesus. Have you ever had someone younger than you who knew way less than you argue with you? My son did this to me the other day. He said, Dad, the speed limit is 51. I said, no, it's not. He said, yes, it is. I saw the sign. I said, it's not 51. He said, yes, it is. We're arguing about something I am sure of is untrue. I know more than you. I've been driving longer than you. It's not 51. That's a road sign, not a speed limit sign. Finally, I turned around the car to show him nowhere on the sign does it say speed limit. We're on the road 51. So with this, God is exactly that way. We want to argue this point. Well, can you really have what you say? Da, 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 da. And God is saying, I have studied humans for years. I made humans. I fashioned you. I formed you in my own image and likeness. Why in the world are you arguing with me about this? Jesus said, if you believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth, it will be done unto you. And what happens is we let life form our beliefs, and then we describe our life with our words, and it keeps us in that same situation. We're snared with the words of our mouth. You want more grace, you have to say grace. You want more peace, you have to say peace. You want more favor, you have to say favor. You want a change on the job, you've got to confess that change on that job. If you say so, it will be so. I've got to close this message, but Jesus did this all the time. Once again, if you're going to study anybody's life, study Jesus. All throughout the book of John, Jesus would stop and tell everyone who he was. This sounds very brazen. It just come through and tell people who I am. But Jesus knew this principle. If I want to be so, I have to say so. And watch what Jesus would do. Jesus was constantly saying who he was and where he was going. I'll give you some examples in the book of John. John 6 and verse 48, I am the bread of life. The next one, John 8 and 12. Then Jesus spoke again unto them saying, I am the light of the world. Next one, John 10 and 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter me, he shall be saved. Next one, John 10 and 11, I am the good shepherd. Next one, John 11, 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Next one, John 14, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Next one, John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Now notice, never in Jesus' ministry did he ever say, you know what I am? I'm just so frustrated. I am so frustrated. I'll tell you what, if I have to kiss one more baby, I am just going to go out of my mind. I just need some rest. I'm so tired. I'm so stressed. I'm so anxious. I'm so burdened. I'm so frustrated. Jesus never said the wrong I ams. Why? Jesus knew if I say so, it'll be so. So I am the resurrection. I am the life. Jesus even turned to other people and said, what do other people say that I am? And you know what? Every single other person got it wrong. You cannot get your definition from work, your spouse, your kids, your employees, your employer. Your definition has to come from the Most High God. And he says over you, you are discipline, you are love, you are joy, you are filled with self-control. You have the peace that passes all understanding that Christ has been made unto you wisdom. And the same blessing that was on Abraham is the same blessing that is on you. But you have to say so in order for it to be so. And so, friends, here's what I want you to do. What are you saying you are? Over the past couple of months, weeks, this year, what are you saying you are? Great question would be, who do you want to be? Start calling yourself that. I'm an amazing father. I'm an amazing father. My wife, she's spectacular. My kids, they're disciplined. They just listen so well. My life, I tell you what, it's just amazing to see the goodness of God that is in my life right now. One of the things you can do, I have to close with this, is every single negative thought that comes in your mind, just say the opposite. If a negative thought comes in your mind, man, this thing's never going to turn around. Just say, you know what? This thing's turning around. I'm an overcomer. I'm going to overcome this just like I overcame the past couple of stuff. I just feel so weak. You just feel so weak. You know what? I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let the weak do what? Say what? I am strong. If you're in life and it's just, man, we're never going to get out of this hole. I was talking to someone in the foyer and they were preaching my message to me right there. She said, I factor up all my debts and I made a decision this year I'm going to be debt free. So she said, I've been waking up and saying, I am debt free. By the grace of God, this is the year I am debt free. She said, I'm cutting up the credit cards. I'm changing my patterns. I love someone who actually takes the message and does something with it. She said, I'm changing my patterns with these cards. But she said, I am going to be debt-free. And I said, you've got it right there. Start calling yourself the right I am. If you say so, it'll be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these amazing people and the opportunity to preach unto them. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, you help them all grow in you, see good things this year. Heads bowed all over this place, eyes closed. Last weekend at Word of Life, 165 people raised their hands to either accept Jesus Christ for the very first time or to rededicate their lives. I don't know if you're going to be one of those people this week, but if you are, friend, let me tell you this. God loves you. He's for you. He's forgiven you. He's not a judge waiting to judge you. He's a father waiting to love you. There's nothing but mercy in him, and I don't care where you've been, how bad you've been, wrong you've been, irritating you've been. His love for you is the one constant you have in your life. Other people will forsake you. God never will. You may even give up on you. God never will. If in this room today you say, Pastor Joel, I'm just so frustrated with myself, I feel far from God right now, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, there is grace waiting to come to you, I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you say, Pastor Joel, that's exactly where I'm at, I need Jesus, lift up your hand. So I'm going to ask you to do, that's it. It's just a sign saying, Jesus, I need you in my life. Hands going up all over the place. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Lift it up high, lift it up high. It's you making a declaration. I need grace this morning. I need mercy. I need Jesus. It's all I'm going to ask you to do. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, he loves you. Let's pray this morning. Everyone here, let's pray. Just repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he died for me. I believe on the third day, he rose again from the grave. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. My past, it's washed away. You've forgiven me, so I forgive myself. And I say boldly, my best days are starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I tell you, it's always a joy to hear of the hand.